Thank you, Frank, for those songs.
Amen.
They sounded great. I'd like to welcome everybody today. We have a few visitors with us. We have Mitchell from here in Las Vegas. We're very glad to have you worship with us. If you haven't had a chance to get by and meet Mitchell, he's sitting right over here. Make him feel welcome. A couple of announcements before we get started in our lesson. It is in the bulletin that Sunday, June 5th, 2 weeks from today, there's going to be an area-wide singing, and it's going to be held up at the Bright Angel Church of Christ up in the northwest part of the valley, and that's going to be at 2 o'clock. We'll go as long as we can until we've got to head out and get back here on this end of the world for our evening worship. Once a month, many of the area Church of Christ preachers meet together for breakfast and prayer and discuss things. And a few months ago, we were talking about, well, let's do some things to get the congregations together. And it was discussed, let's start off with some area-wide singings. Bright Angel is going to host the first one. And then in July, the North Las Vegas congregation will host it. We are slated for August, but that's the weekend of our gospel meeting, so we may be switching up with somebody there. But I think it'd be a great opportunity for us to fellowship with other Christians and get together and sing praises to God during the afternoon. That will be 2 weeks from today at 2 in the afternoon. If anybody can help out with and would like to sign up for the building cleaning schedule and or the communion preparation and cleanup, there are sheets on the bulletin board in the foyer there. And if you could help out, that would be appreciated. I just personally want to congratulate Tyree and Delilah. They had some awards this past week at school, and give a little shout out to them and all the kids. I tell you, hang on a couple more days. It's winding up. Garfield, can you make it? Just a couple more days. The kids are ready. Me and Garfield are ready. Trish is ready for it to be over. And we've got a couple of prayer requests. Jeff Craig requests prayers for his mother, Kathy, who is facing some medical issues and is in a lot of pain. And I tell you, you'd rather go through things yourself than see your loved ones going through things. And he and Kelly also request continued prayers for Brent, he and his family. We've been in prayer for them. We will continue that. And also, Anne requests prayers for herself to have more patience in the interactions with her family, her friends, and coworkers. I'm so glad Anne's the only one that ever has to face that and request prayers for patience. But Anne, we get you, and thank you for inspiring us to being bold enough to ask for prayers for it. And she also asked for prayers for Shannon and Preston as they're returning from out of town tonight. Let's go to God in prayer real quick, and then we'll get into our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, and we're so thankful for all the blessings that you give us. You bless us with wonderful, wonderful lives. We're so thankful that you listen to us, that we have the avenue of prayer. We're thankful for Tracy not only getting out of the hospital, he's been in the hospital the last couple of days, but not only is he out, but he's here with us today worshiping. We're thankful that Don is home from his recent surgery, and he's getting better every day. We thank you for that. Dear God, we come to you on behalf of a few of our brothers and sisters right now, and we ask special prayers for them. We ask that you be with Jeff's mom, Kathy. Please help the doctors deal with her situation and help her with the pain and hopefully be able to heal the issues that she's facing right now. Please comfort the family as it is so hard to see a loved one suffer. Dear God, we ask continued prayers for Brent and his family. Give him your strength, the love and comfort of his brothers and sisters and his family. Dear God, we ask that you be with Ann. Be with all of us as she deals with sometimes a lack of patience. I know I do. And we ask that you be with us all as we deal with others, because these others are the people we're trying to influence. These people are the ones that we're trying to show our light to. And we ask that you give us patience, tolerance, and love. Dear God, we also are praying for Shannon and Preston as they're returning from being out of town. We pray for their safety. Dear God, be with us the rest of this worship. Be with me as I present the lesson. Let everything be in accordance to your word, be pleasing to you, and be done in spirit and in truth. Mm-hmm. Dear God, be with us, and please forgive us for the things that we do wrong. And we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
If you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the 28th chapter. This is at the end of Jesus' ministry. This is a passage right before he will be received back up into heaven. And he is talking with his apostles. He's been on the earth for 40 days after he was resurrected. And he is getting ready to go back to his rightful place where he had left the right hand of God in heaven. And we're going to be taking the bulk of our message from Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 18 through 20. This is the passage that Brandon read to us earlier in our worship. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." This is not a passage that any of us are probably hearing for the first time. This is a passage we're familiar with. It is referred to quite often. But this is one of the last recorded things that Jesus will talk with his apostles about. It starts off saying, all authority has been given to me. Not some. I haven't been given some authority. You go into a store and you need something rectified, a problem with a product or a food purchase or something like this. And the farther up you go, the more authority people have. And they may say, well, I don't have the authority to do this. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. All. And he says, in heaven and on earth.
Amen.
He was the sacrifice for us. He came from heaven. He was with God from the beginning. And so when he says, all authority has been given me, he has that right to say that. Mm-hmm. And so this is how he starts off this last written passage that we're looking at today. He's starting it off, all authority. So if you're doubting anything, revert back to this. Amen. I have all authority in heaven and on earth. In John 12, 48, in another teaching, he says, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. That last day on judgment, we're going to be judged by the word he has given. So these apostles, they've already heard this. And it would behoove them to listen up. When Jesus says, all authority has been given me, and he's getting ready to tell them something, they better listen up and listen tight. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul kind of establishes one of those reasons why he has such authority. Paul tells the Corinthians in chapter 15, starting in verse 54, he says, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus conquered death. They are eyewitnesses that he rose from the grave. He had been with them for 40 days since his resurrection. And so when he claims, all authority is given me in heaven and on earth, he's got every right to make that claim. He's conquered death. And we can conquer death and eliminate that fear of death because of him. And this is how he is starting this passage off. All authority. And he goes on to say, go. This is a verb. It's action. Go is not sit on your backside. Go is not take a nap. Go is action. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to go to the other side of the world. If we all got up and went to preach the gospel in other parts of the world, if all the apostles went and preached them, who's going to mind the store there in Jerusalem? Go means beyond yourself. Go to others. Some would literally take the go and go. Others will take that go and it be in your little world to every person that you come into contact with. But we are told to go. And that's an active verb. It's not passive. We've got to do something with it. It's not relying on somebody else to do it, go. And all of us can. All of us have a realm of influence. And that's what Jesus is wanting the apostles and ultimately us to do, is to go to others. In Acts 4:20, Paul and John, when they were brought before the authorities, they were saying, "We told you not to preach. We commanded you not to preach." They are taking what Jesus said literally. They are preaching. And they had been commanded not to. And Peter says, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." There's no way you can shut us up. And they're standing toe-to-toe with the civil and religious authorities of the day. You were told not to preach. You're causing too much upheaval. And they respond, "There is no way we can't preach. We cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard." In Titus, we see the results of this going. It says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." That was just written a couple of decades after Jesus told them to go. It has appeared to all men. In Colossians 1:23, "which was preached to every creature under heaven," within a couple of decades. Romans 10:18, "Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world." Jesus told them to go, they did. Romans 16, "But now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations." Jesus said to do it, they did it. He told them, go, and here is the command: make disciples. It also is a verb, but this is the command. We're told to go, but this is imperative. This is a beyond question. This is what you do. You make disciples. Our goal isn't just, I mean, we're told to baptize, but our goal isn't just to dunk people as fast as we can. Our goal is to make disciples. That's not an overnight issue. You talk about a verb, that takes effort. It takes an ongoing effort. A disciple is a dedicated follower. Not a follower of us. Not a follower of any other person. It is a follower of Christ. That's who. And this is where many, many religious-minded people confuse the two. They're following an individual rather than Jesus. Jesus says, "Follow the things I have taught you, not what other people have taught you." Luke 9:23. Jesus said, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" Amen. That's who we're following. That's who we're molding ourselves after. Not each other, not that we can't be inspired by each other and learn from each other. But the leader and who we are following is Jesus himself. He says, make disciples of all the nations. All kinds of people. Not just the people that we like. We don't make a super club of just the ones that we want in our club, to all kinds of people. Jesus died for all kinds of people, and hence we should go to all kinds of people, all nationalities, all races, different age groups, different interests, people that might look different than us, to all the nations. Romans 2:11, Paul reminds us that there is no partiality with God. And if there's no partiality with God, there should be no partiality with us.
Amen.
He goes on to say, Jesus says, baptizing them, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That baptism, the word, means immersion. Not sprinkling, not a little dip, not a little spritz. It's immersion. And for the forgiveness of sins. We see that on the day of Pentecost. Just 10 days after Jesus told the apostles this was the day of Pentecost. And that's how Peter and the apostles baptized the 3,000. Was in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They immersed them, and it was for the forgiveness of your sins. Not to join something, not because you're saved. It's you're baptized to be saved. Huge, huge difference. There are many of our religious friends that they will be baptized to demonstrate that they have been saved. We're told, and Jesus commands us, to be baptized to be saved.
Amen.
And there's a big difference in that. Matthew 3 is the account when Jesus himself was baptized. Jesus did not need to be baptized for forgiveness of sins, but he obeyed the Father. And we've got such a great example that even Jesus submitted himself and was willing to do what the Father had wanted him to. And in 16 and 17 it says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. Immersion. There's the inference of immersion.
Amen.
He didn't just pat his face dry. He came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. How do you know? He probably recognized it. There's the heavens. I've been there. I know what it is. The heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now, if Jesus being baptized pleased the Father, don't we want to please the Father and be baptized? And especially after Jesus commanded us to do that. It goes on to say, go into all the nations, making disciples, baptizing them, and teaching them. This is the part of making the disciples. He says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. This doesn't happen overnight. We are in a constant process of being disciples and becoming stronger disciples. It's an ongoing. So, you know, there's people in here that have been Christians for decades, and you're still growing as a disciple. He says, observe all things that I have commanded you. Sure hope they paid attention. Sure hope they paid attention to the things Jesus taught them, because now it's required of them to pass it on to others. Sure hope we pay attention, because we need to pass it to others. In John 14, 15, Jesus says, if, and here's, Tracy, here's your word. Here's if, that little bitty word. If you love me. How many times do you hear people say, oh, I love Jesus. Oh, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's pretty black and white. There's not a lot of wiggle room there. And in the next chapter, in verse 10, he says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Abide means live in. That's where you live. That's where you just don't swing by once in a while. You live there. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And in verse 14 he says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. To do whatever he commands, you've got to pay attention to what he commands. You've got to have open ears, open heart, open eyes in order to carry those commands out. 2 Timothy, we see a literal, in real life time, of what Jesus had told the apostles. Years later, about 30 years later, Paul is going to tell Timothy the same thing that has been perpetuating itself. He says, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What Jesus had told the apostles has just kept going and rolling forward to where Paul is telling Timothy to do the same thing. Keep it going. 2,000 years later, somebody has taught us. Somebody loved us enough and took time and made disciples out of us. We have this same charge. The baton is being passed to us now. It's not for somebody else to go do. It's for us to be able to go and teach others also. And then Jesus ends up with a promise. He says, and I am with you always. Always. Not just in good times. Not just when times are good. Always. It doesn't mean that things will always be good. And that's a whole nother lesson. We can do that another time. We're kind of running out of time now. We can do that lesson some other time. Just because Jesus says, I am with you always, doesn't mean things will be good. But Jesus is there. When he said this to those apostles, every single one of them would die a violent death except the apostle John. That doesn't invalidate that Jesus wasn't with them. Just a short time from this, we will see Stephen being killed in Acts. Jesus was with Stephen, was with him to the end, even to the end of the age. Hebrews 13:5, for he himself says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Does not mean everything's always going to be hunky-dory and, you know, we can't be looking out of rose-colored glasses. But Jesus will never forsake us. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, was spoken to the apostles, but it applies to us today. I hope we are up to the task of taking the baton and taking it to others. Just like Paul said, to teach others that will be able to teach others. That will be able to teach others. And it keeps going. This was an encouraging passage to me. Hopefully it was to you. One of the last recorded messages that Jesus gave his followers. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, Jesus commanded us to be baptized. Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. If you disagree with that, you can take it up with Jesus someday, and we will all get to. John 12:48, we will be judged by his words. If you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to repent, if you need to get back on track and serve him better, whatever your need, please come forward while Frank leads us in the invitation song.